The following audio is from Missio Dei Church in Asheville, North Carolina. We exist for maturing and multiplying disciples in Asheville and beyond for the glory of God. For more resources from Missio Dei or to partner with us on mission, visit mdcavl.org.
Well, good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight as we commemorate the cross on Good Friday. It's called Good Friday, one of the earliest Christian holidays or holy days, not because it was good for Jesus, but because it was good for us. For Jesus, it was the darkest of all days. The radiance of the glory of God was snuffed out. And so we may ask the question, why would we continue to remember this day? And it's because the cross, which is the greatest demonstration of God's love for us, is also the glory of Christ. His resurrected body, his glorified body, the body he has right now, contains the scars from the nails. So what I'd like to do tonight in the brief time that we have together is to look at just one verse from the scripture. It'll be on the screen, and so I know some of you brought your Bibles, and you might not be able to see them, and that's okay. It'll be right here on the screen before us. And so I just want to read this one verse, which I believe is a beautiful summary of the heart of Jesus in the gospel of Christ, and then we'll just think through it together very briefly. The verse says this, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." This is God's word. Thanks be to God. So I'd like to just think through this verse in very simple steps, and it'll go like this. What was accomplished, where it was accomplished, and why it was accomplished. So let's look at them in series. First, what was accomplished? He himself bore our sins in his body. Now, if you've ever helped someone move, you know that to bear a burden means to come underneath the weight of something, right? If you've ever helped someone move a couch, for instance, you can't bear the burden until you get up under it with them. And the only way to bear a burden is to get close enough to actually shoulder some of it. Jesus loves to relieve the burdens from weary, worn out, frustrated, fed up sinners like you and I. And he loves us so much that he gets close enough to bear all of our sin. But to really grasp Jesus' love and care for us, we have to admit something about ourselves that is uncomfortable and undesirable. And that is that we have sin. Now, you may have heard sin described in a number of ways. Some people describe sin as missing the mark, like you're shooting at a target and you miss the bullseye. Others may describe sin as breaking God's law. You've heard me, if you've been around here, I've described sin a number of times as our desire to be our own authority. Some would even say that sin is our substituting ourselves for God. In other words, one theologian put it this way. He said, sin is cosmic treason. Now, our U.S. Constitution says that treason is the highest of all crimes. It's a capital crime. And how much more treason against the creator of the entire universe? When we betray the authority of God, when we rebel against his authority and try to be our own authority, focusing on ourselves and interested in ourselves and being God oblivious in this world, we incur the wrath of a holy and just God. It is cosmic treason. And yet, in the verses that we read in our liturgy from Isaiah, Isaiah paints this picture of a willing and innocent substitute. Like if sin is us substituting ourselves for God, the gospel is Jesus substituting himself for us. He came to live a perfect life. He lived a perfect life that we could never live. He died a guilty death that all of us deserve to die. And he so identified with us that he actually stepped into our place at the cross so that we wouldn't have to stand under the weight of our sin and under the wrath of a holy God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 reminds us that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us on the cross. In other words, he was the embodiment of everything vile and ugly and repulsive in us. And he bore our sin in his body. Jesus takes personal responsibility for all of our many, many failings. So what was accomplished? Jesus bore our sins in his body. But where was it accomplished? Jesus bore our sin in his body on the tree. Some of your translations will say on the wood, on the cross. This is what we're talking about. This rough cut timber that was made into the shape of a cross in which guilty criminals were executed. The cross was an ancient form of execution made popular by the Romans. They executed tens of thousands of people via crucifixion. Guilty criminals were stripped completely naked, arms outstretched, and large spikes driven through the two bones in their wrists to secure them to the crossbeam, through their ankles often to secure them to the vertical beam. And then they would be hoisted up and set into the post set into a hole where they would be lifted up and on display for all to see. Usually their crime was listed above them. Their body weight would sag under, you know, like they would be supporting their own body weight but not able to breathe because they would begin to suffocate under their own body weight. And so they'd have to force themselves up by the feet and the hands in order to catch their breath. It was so painful, we actually have a word that we use today in English to describe it. It's called excruciating. It comes from crucifixion. That's how severe the pain of crucifixion was. And beyond that, beyond the physical pain, was the public shame. The spectacle of being hoisted up naked for all to see with your crime listed above you, taunted, jeered at, spit on, mocked, made a fool. For Jesus, even more severe than the excruciating physical pain, even more severe than the shame of mockery, was the searing loss of being forsaken by God the Father. From the cross, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The only time in all of the scripture that Jesus does not refer to God as his Father, but cries out, my God. And he is met from the cross with silence. If there had been an answer, I imagine it would have been something like this. Son, I have laid the sins of the world upon you, and so I must forsake you because I must forsake sin. Now, Peter uses the word tree, I think intentionally, to point us back to Deuteronomy chapter 21, where it tells us, the Bible says, that anyone cursed is anyone who hangs from a tree. So imagine this, Jesus, the creator of the universe, who holds everything together by the word of his power. As the nails go through his wrists and his feet, he is nailed to a piece of wood from a tree that he created. And at the cross, Jesus becomes a curse for us so that we might experience the blessing of God. So what was accomplished? Jesus bore our sins in his body. Where was it accomplished? On the tree. And why? Why was it accomplished? He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree that, or so that, we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Now, I think a better translation of this would actually be so that having died to sin, we would live to righteousness. In other words, Peter is not saying here that Jesus died in the hope that we would one day eventually die to sin. No, 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 no. The Bible tells us that if we have surrendered our lives to the Lordship of Christ, we have died to sin. Romans 6, shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? Paul says, by no means. And then he says, if you have died to sin, you are free from sin, from its power. Again, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul rightly says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So if you, wherever you are, in this room or at home, if you are in Christ, if you are clinging to Jesus above everything else, then on this day, 2,000 years ago, you died. The old you, the rebellious you, the self-interested you, the God-oblivious you died. And you were reborn in Christ, raised to walk in a newness of life with Jesus to righteousness. No sin, that means no sin, can ever condemn a believer in Christ again because Christ suffered what we should have suffered. The great debt of sin paid in full once for all. We are credited with his perfect righteousness. Imagine with me for a moment a huge stack of bills. They're your bills. It's your mortgage. It's your student loan payments. It's your car payment. It's every bill, your cell phone, your water. It's everything you have. All your bills for the year stacked up. Maybe for multiple years, stacked up. It's a huge pile of bills. And someone says to you, can you pay those? And you say, nope. And I don't even need to try. And they say, well, aren't you worried? And you say, nope. Look closer at those bills. And as they look closer, every single one of them has red ink on the bottom that says paid in full. And you say, they say to you, well, did you pay those bills? You said, not a penny. But who troubles himself about a bill when it's paid? Now, that alone would be amazing. But it would not ultimately be helpful because in order for us to stay out of debt, we'd have to work. So imagine that not only have the debts been paid, but you have been given a debit card without a limit. So that from that point forward, no matter where you go, no matter what the bill is or how expensive, you'll never be in debt again. You'll never have to worry about how you're going to pay that bill. Now, all analogies break down at some point. But in Christ, not only has your sin debt been paid in full, but you have been credited with the perfect, spotless righteousness of God, meaning that if you are in Christ, because of what Jesus has done for us on Good Friday, that when God looks at you, he does not see your failures, your many failures, my many failures, your flubs, your sins, your rebellion, your God obliviousness. No, he sees the righteousness of Jesus in your place. And so you and I in Christ have nothing left to do now but live into the righteousness that God says is ours because of Jesus. By his wounds, we have been healed. Meaning, our sin has been forgiven. Our relationship with God has been restored. And that is why a horrible Friday for Jesus was a good Friday for us. Pray with me. Father in heaven, I don't know how words can express the gratitude that we feel in this moment as we contemplate the reality that your only Son, Jesus the Christ, died for us, for our many sins and failings. This is a somber day, and yet we know that it's not the end of the story. But we need to feel the solemnness of this moment. Because without the bad news of Good Friday, there's no good news of Resurrection Sunday. And so, Jesus, we thank you that you would love us so much that you would bear our sin in your body on that tree. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. We praise you. We thank you for a love that is unfathomable. Lord, forgive us for minimizing the cross. Help us to feel that weight this evening. We pray in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit.